My elevator pitch is it's as a mindset practice that at its core is appreciation of all things.
You got that from me.
Maybe I did.
Yeah. A couple of years back, I remember we were in a Taya Mastery meeting and I came up with it off the top of my head too, because someone said like, well, how would you explain it to just like any random person? I said, well, usually what I say, and then I just blurted that out and then everyone started writing it down. I was like, yeah, that was good. I should write that down.
Yeah, because I'm not good, you know. Welcome to the Stream of David podcast. I am here today with my writing partner for the Taya Practice book and editor for my first book, The Stream, Eternal Wisdom for a Better Life, Katarina Wanders.
Hello, I'm back.
Always good to have you here. I love our Stream geek outs, our Taya geek outs. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to geek out. But before I do that, I'm going to do the thing I always forget to do and plug some of my stuff. So buckle up. Newsletter. If you are not on the list for our newsletter, go to thestreamofdavid.com, sign up for our newsletter. We don't sell your email address to anyone and we don't bombard you with all kinds of crap. We send a weekly newsletter every Sunday with a message from me or the stream. It's just a really good way to keep up with what's going on in our world. It doesn't cost you a dime. The next thing is boot camp. We are enrolling again in boot camp. You will start hearing some promos on our podcast again for boot camp. Boot camp's been, not empty. We've been enrolling people all along very quietly, but we haven't really stepped up our enrollment efforts until now because we published the book. It's out. People are reading the book. Some people are guided toward boot camp and taking advantage of that situation. And so we are opening enrollments once again. And of course, there's always a link where you can book a discovery meeting if you know that you're ready for that. It is an investment in terms of time and money. It's a big deal. It's not for everybody. But I will tell you that if you are interested at all, book a time. I do most of these enrollment meetings myself, and I love meeting anyone who is that interested in Taya, period. The other thing is a Facebook group. I know a lot of people have kind of stepped away from Facebook. I had to detune my judgment about Facebook. But I will tell you that we've tried other mediums as far as creating an online community, and there's just no other tool as good as Facebook. So the Taya Practice Facebook group is active. It's alive and well. Dust off your Facebook account if you've put it on a shelf and join the group, the TYA practice.
That was beautiful, David. That was very
beautiful.
Well,
plugs. Those beautiful plugs and stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Enough about all that. Enough about boot camp and Facebook and mailing lists and all that good stuff. Yeah. And we are planning events, and we do have an event coming up in March on March 30th in Joshua Tree. If you are on the mailing list, you will find out more information about that. It's kind of I call it Coachella for spiritual people. Coming up on March 30th. And I am going to go out and do a live workshop and a book signing. So if you're around Southern California or can be March 30th, you will find out more about that event shortly. Now I'm finished plugging all my stuff.
I mean, you
so
didn't
let's just talk about the book that we sell.
Yeah, we're done plugging that. Now let's just
spend another 30 minutes to an hour talking about the book.
No one's going to like it when I come on the podcast now, David.
Well, I had to get all that out of the way because I know that we were going to talk about the book. I would forget all about plugging anything and, you know,
let's see
the lights on around here, you know.
Let's see how many times we can say plugging. So,
yes, yeah. We'll banish the word for the rest of this episode. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the book. The book's doing well. The book is doing very well, and we're getting new reviews every day. love the tie. I've got my copy here, too. We're holding them up for those of you listening and not watching on YouTube. The Taya Practice book. I've been telling everybody to get the paperback as my favorite format. We have hardcover. And if you're really a Taya geek and you want a hardbound book, go get your hardbound book. It takes longer to come in. They are nice. They're beautiful. I will be happy to sign it when we meet. And I know we'll all meet at some point. But the paperback is good because you're going to want to read it and then go back and look through it. You're going to tab things. You're going to make notes. If you're really electronic, maybe you can do all of that in Kindle. But for most people, I think the paperback's the way to go.
I want to make a special edition hardback, like a cooler cover. I think that would be a fun project. You should.
Cooler than the one we have? I love the one that we have.
Yeah, well, no, I have like a vision. I would love to put feelers out and see if anyone would actually be into that, having like a special edition of the book.
Special edition?
I bet there would be. There would be some interest in that. I think we should.
When we hit a million copies, we'll put out a commemorative special edition. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, wow. That's like ambitious. I do that with my books once they hit 10,000.
So. Well, it's probably more realistic than a million, but we'll see. You never know. This could be, Michael said, this is Dianetics for Taya.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've sold over a million books now, but you know, I have over 100 books. So
yes, I'm sure you have. You have quite a few. So speaking of plugging, your books, you cross several genres.
Yeah, I do. I definitely do. I'm in the middle of actually tightening that up. I've been reworking my website a little bit. I've actually moved away from nonfiction and I'm doing a re-release of every single one of my books. I've done it with, let's see, I've gotten through like 8 of them now. And I've divided up into pen names. So now I have 3 pen names that I'm using currently. And then
are you sharing those publicly here or not?
Yeah, one of them, I mean, Katarina Wanders is the main one, and that's where you can get like my Living an Unedited Life series, and that those are the books that are based on like Taya principles. Those are all in the process of being reworked right now. So only 3 of them are, the new versions are up, and then I have QB Wanders. Is that the
Streamiverse?
Yeah, no, the Streamiverse is under QB Wanders because it's science fiction, and that's just such a different reader group. Oh, I wish I had the book right next to me. But yeah, the Streamiverse books, that's a sci-fi fantasy version of Taya. And it's all based on the Stream's teaching. So if you're a fantasy reader, like it's, imagine like the Force in Star Wars, but it's Taya. And yeah, there's the Streamiverse and then a series coming later with Taya Masters. It's a whole thing. And I've been obsessed with that series. Like
when we get Streaming Words publishing up in website form, we should put all of these there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of the reasons I've taken down the Living an Unedited Life books. I'm thinking they might be better re-released under Streaming Words Publishing instead of Wandering Words. It's been kind of where I've been at. But now my publishing journey has definitely taken a turn because my writing has improved so much and I was tired of having so many different things going on. So yeah, they've all been coming down and getting revamped. So anything you can find on Amazon under my name now, it's better to just go to my website and go from there because it'll show you what I'm up to. But yeah, I wanted to kind of focus all my nonfiction effort into just the Taya practice book. And it's kind of where it's at now.
Yeah. Well, and the book, I have said this many times, it took us 5 years to publish this. 5+ now since we started. And I am really pleased with what came out. And I see that most people that are reading it are really pleased mm-hmm. as well. So that's good. I'm hearing from people that read the book in 2 or 3 days. We've had people enroll now in boot camp that bought the book, never heard of the Stream, never heard of Taya, fell in love with the practice, and they're in boot camp within just a few days of reading the book.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. That's exciting that it's reaching more people that are ready for this mindset.
No, that makes me so happy that's working out that way, especially because like I put so much of my effort and just my life into this book for so many years that once we released it, I swear it was like giving birth. I got it out and I just needed to step back and I have not. I'm just glad it's taking off without my putting effort into it after we got it released because I don't know. I can't even describe how happy I was to finally hold it in my hands once we ordered copies after it was published, just because it's like, I've never put this much effort into one book before. 5 years. Like, that's crazy. And yeah, very happy.
Well, and it was a lot of work. But I think it's really showing in the way that the book is received, because one of the things that we wanted to do was ensure that somebody that had never heard of any of this could pick the book up and totally get it mm-hmm. and get immersed in it and understand what we were talking about. And that took time.
Yeah,
that took the developmental editor who had never heard of any of this going through and thrashing it 476 pages and us rewriting it based on that. That was the best thing. And that was your idea. That was a fantastic idea to do that.
I love how you think she thrashed it because her edits were so minimal to what we usually do to books. Like, just keep in mind, I've been an editor for 21 years. So, yeah.
Well, you know, the writing is brilliant to begin with. So how much can you possibly
It was awesome. Yeah,
the funny thing is she said the stream's writing is brilliant. David needs some work.
Yeah, she did say that. And but it was also half the length when she read it too. It doubled after she got a hold of it.
Well, yeah, because it needed a lot more explanation. And that's what we did. We offered a lot more explanation to the practice.
Yeah, it went through actually. And then it went through a content editor. So yeah, I'm thinking everyone on my team who went over that book, it was Allison and Christina, and it went through a lot of iterations. I've never seen a book change so much from start to finish as this one did.
Yeah. Yeah, it evolved, and it needed to, because the practice evolved as we were writing it. Mm-hmm. But after teaching it to people for all these years now we know. We know what works. We know what doesn't work so well. We know how to teach it. We know how to explain it. And it took that. We really started writing it kind of soon in the life of Taya. And I think maybe that's one of the other reasons that it took us a little longer to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we did. Considering, like, all things considered, yeah, that was soon. It didn't seem like it at the time, though.
Yeah. So let's talk about reviews. We're getting a lot of reviews coming in. Not as quickly as you want 100 reviews right away. And it's like a milestone that we're at 30 as we record this. And you think, gosh, you're selling all these books. Well, most people don't bother to write a review.
Mm-hmm.
If people are really moved by it, are really pissed off by it, they're going to write a review. But think of how much middle ground there is of someone, people that are reading it and they're kind of digesting it, not necessarily thinking they have to go and write a review about it.
Yeah.
But reviews are appreciated and needed. We quote unquote, I'm not trying to activate the vibration of need, but we know in the world of Amazon, they really don't take your book seriously until you get over 100 reviews.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the book reviews are appreciated.
Yeah. It's interesting because if we had built a launch team the way I put out books at the beginning of my writing career, it would have been a very different experience. But Amazon has changed a lot since I first started publishing. And it used to be, as long as you had at least 20 reviews, you were golden. Now it's 100. I mean, it's just so competitive out there nowadays.
Well, there's so many books. It's so easy now to go on AI and say, write a book on this topic, and AI will spit out a book in seconds.
Yeah.
In seconds. Yeah. And you can take that and you can publish it with your name on it and, you know, go to Canva and do a cover, which we did not do. We actually had professional cover designers do our cover. You know, it's easy to write a book. And I am glad there was a time that people would have turned their nose up at self-publishing. And of course, I think those days are gone now. People really appreciate self-publishing, the fact that there's not a gatekeeper of what you get to say and what you can't. Yeah. You know, I don't want my book to turn into the teachings of Jesus. We know that's happened to people that channel before. You know, you can't say that you're channeling this. You got to say it like that if you want us to publish the book. And then the person agrees. And then the book gets out and maybe it's widely publicized, but it's still not really the original message.
Yeah.
It's been sort of watered down for mass consumption. The Taya practice is not watered down for mass consumption. We were the gatekeepers of what went in and what didn't.
Yep. And that's one of the beauties of it.
That is one of the beauties of it indeed. You really get the truth, that whatever the author or artist is putting out, you're getting the authentic version, not what some committee is sitting around a table thinking what's going to sell and what's going to get good press.
Yeah, agreed. I like also that even with things changing, the fact that the book is still selling copies daily is actually pretty amazing. So I'm really happy with how things are going now, because I think people are finding it who need it. And then, you know, we probably will down the road take it off of being exclusive to Amazon and take it wide, and then even more people can find it. And I just think there's a lot of possibility with doing it this way and getting rid of the gatekeepers. So I'm optimistic. But yeah. Yeah, not to sound like a broken record, if you read the book, though, please leave a review. You have no idea how much that changes things for us, because if you really do love Taya and it's done a lot for you, then the best thing you could do for us right now is to review the book on any platform, whether it's BookBub or Goodreads or Amazon, or as we move to other platforms there, just because that helps other people find it.
Yeah, and I forget about Goodreads. We don't have any reviews on Goodreads at all. I think like 3. So Goodreads is a good place to go and drop a review also, if you appreciate the work, even if you don't.
Yeah.
We're okay. We had a very interesting, the most interesting review came, it popped up last night for me from a Muslim perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And we both agree. We both read it and we're like, oh my gosh, this is great. It's a 3-star review. It's not a 5-star review. I'm surprised it wasn't a 1-star review, but I was, yeah. I appreciate the thoughtfulness of the 3 stars. And it was somebody that is in a Muslim belief system that for some reason chose to read the book. It sounds like she read the entire book and did not like that it wasn't compatible with the Muslim belief system, mm-hmm. which I completely understand how that would be, you know, something that, but I don't know that I would have read an entire book that wasn't compatible with my belief system, yeah. but maybe I would. But you know, it was an interesting review. I like anything that's interesting or entertaining or funny, even if it's negative or 1 star, or, you know, I appreciate that. The only thing is at times I don't appreciate if somebody gets triggered, leaves a 1-star review, and you know, they didn't even bother to read the book, but I can't do anything about that. That's just part of being out there.
Yeah, I think it's actually by far my favorite review so far that I've seen come through on.
Yeah, I wish we could, you know, they don't allow you to communicate with these people in any way. I wish we could say, hey, this, you know, we appreciate your review.
Yeah.
It's well written. It's honest. It's an interesting perspective. I don't think anybody would read it and disagree.
Yeah.
If you're a devout Muslim, this is probably not the thing for you.
Yeah. I wonder where he or she found it. And I don't know. I'm just baffled by how the book ended up in front of this person and why they read it.
Yeah. Yeah. But they did. They did. And so I think it's a testament to the writing, i.e. the editing, mm-hmm. that probably kept them. Because if you're reading something you don't necessarily agree with and it's poorly written, you're probably not going to stick around.
Yeah.
If the writing is good and it's drawing you through the book, then I think that means that there's something there in the writing, at least for that person.
Yep. Agreed.
Keep going. Either that or they're a speed reader and it took 5 minutes and they were good.
I mean, even so, I'm a speed reader. And
well, I don't think it's, well, how fast could you read 468 pages as a speed reader?
About 2 hours.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. I usually, because I average about a 200 page book per hour. And
do you really comprehend everything you're reading, or do you kind of skim and put it together in your mind?
Yes and no. I do chunking mixed with space reading. So like the chunking is I pick a point. Like I do like reading on a Kindle because it's harder for me to do this in a print book, because on the Kindle I can keep a certain amount of words on the page and I look at one space in the center of it and then I skip to the next. So as I look at the space, my eyes take in the words around it without me having to move my eyes down the thing. And because that's what slows most people down. Two things, actually. They are moving their eyes one line at a time. And if it's not the right font with the right type of spacing behind it, it's really hard for your eyes to comprehend what they're seeing. But also they're reciting the words in their head. So if you're repeating the words that you're reading, that slows you down too. So eventually, like I trained myself by looking at the spaces between the words. So I would read like 4 lines at a time. And then eventually I just got faster and faster and faster. And now I go to the Kindle page. I look at the center of the page. I click to the next page. I click to the next page. And I just keep looking at the same spot in the center. And that is how it comprehends in my brain. So if I'm doing like a developmental edit on a book, I can do it really fast. My chief editor actually does the same thing. I was noticing she reads like I had one woman say, excuse me, I don't think she read my book because I just submitted it 4 hours ago and she's done and it was 80,000 words. I'm like, read the feedback, see if you still think that. And then she was like shocked because, you know, she had obviously read the entire book. But when I'm editing, like copy editing and looking for grammar and punctuation and things like that, that is when I'm combing it carefully line by line. And I think that's how I developed my speed reading habit, was because I have two different parts of my brain I use when I'm speed reading versus when I'm meticulously looking at grammar. But when I'm looking at it meticulously, I'm not reading the content. So if I'm proofreading or copy editing something, I will not be able to tell you what the book is about afterward, but I'm finding the errors.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense because you're really analyzing and picking. You're not consuming as much as you're analyzing what's written. I'm different. I'm dyslexic. I read slow. I can really take off and read a couple of pages and not even have comprehended what I just read. Mm-hmm. So I really have to be engaged and really paying attention. I don't know. I haven't sat and tried to read the book all the way through that way. I think it would probably take me 4 or 5 days to read this book, I would imagine, if I were committing most of my day to it.
Yeah, it would. I wonder, though, if you're the reason you have this issue is I think it's because you're meticulously going line by line. Because like I said, I have my two different processes when I read. I'm either reading the content or I'm looking for mistakes. So, and that's one of those things, like if I'm just reading for the content, I'm not going to find mistakes. So that's blur.
So I don't, we haven't found any mistakes in this book as of yet, have we?
So far.
In this published form. I found a typo in the stream book.
There are six. There are six typos.
There are six typos. Are they still there or did we fix
them? Yeah. Oh yeah. I submitted the corrected PDF to you like 3 or 4 years ago and you didn't put it up. So
okay.
So they're still there. But in all fairness, in a book that length, the six typos is actually really not bad. And also, I don't know for sure if there are any typos in the Taya Practice book now, because after, you know, I read it looking for errors on a screen, I have only read the book since then in my like comprehensive speed reading process. So I have not been looking for errors since then. So for me to go through and try to find errors, I would need to take some time back from it, sit there with a red pen and go through it again. And it would probably take me about 3 weeks. So
I have found errors in all kinds of books from major publishing houses. So it happens. Yeah. For sure.
There's not a single published book out there that doesn't have errors in it.
And I did not know. Well, I totally forgot about you sending me anything for the stream book.
I mean, it's been 4 years now, I think. So
yeah. Well, if we ever do, we'll do another edition of that at some point. And when we do, we'll fix the six typos, I guess. And we'll do a new cover also.
Oh, but man.
The little cutesy cover was so cute in the beginning. And now it's just like, okay, that's not our vibe at all.
I still like it a lot, but
I love the bursting sunlight vibe of the Taya Practice book. I just love what they came up with. It really embodies what I feel with the stream.
Yep.
And well, when they sent that back, wasn't this like the first, was this the first mock-up they did?
I think it was like the third iteration.
Okay.
So they sent the first versions they sent were, they basically just took the mock-ups that you made and made them crisper. And they were like, okay, well, what about this? And then,
oh, that's right. And I was like, well, no, don't take what I'm just showing you something. You're supposed to take it to a much higher level. And then finally, after some prodding, they did. I do remember that.
Well, what's funny about this one is like, after I had told them my vision, cause you had this great idea with a tree and everything. And I told them all that stuff. And I was like, but hear me out, because I don't know if you remember this, David, you and I both had a dream around the same time about what the Taya Practice book should look like. And this was years ago. Cause I remember I was living at the big house in the suburbs in Colorado Springs when I had the dream. And I remember being on the phone with you and telling you about it. And you were like, oh my God, I have the same vision of the cover. And I was saying it was basically like a sunrise, but like the color scheme. And so I had this vision. And so when I told the cover designers, I was like, just hear me out. Here's a picture that I really like, because it was like, this was what I was picturing. And you had approved the picture for me to send. And it was an actual photograph, but they came back with this. And it was just like the same shape with the same color scheme. And I said, I don't know how to explain this to you, but like, it needs to be like this photo, but abstract. And they came back with this. And I was like, holy crap. I was so obsessed when I sent it to you. I was like, David.
Yeah, no, it's really good. It's really, really good. And if we ever get on shelves, it will really pop off the shelf. If there's even shelves anymore beyond airports. The only time I ever see books in person is in an airport.
I still go to bookstores. So.
Yeah. Well, I need to find my local metaphysical bookstores. I haven't really done a lot to get in touch with the local community out here in the desert. And most of our podcast listeners are in Southern California. Huh. So now that we're talking about doing in-person events again, of course, we did do an LA event in 2022. And that was great. And that was before my back surgery, when I realized, okay, with my back the way it is, I can't be doing events. Now that I've had that fixed, now that I have manifested the solution to all that, I'm really excited to do events again. And we're going to start out here in the desert with the Joshua tree that I talked about. And then I know we're going to plan something else for not quite summer. You know, you don't want to do anything in the summer out here because it's just blistering hot. Mm-hmm. But something after that, that will be strictly a stream event. And then I know in August, we're going to do something in London. I'm going to do a get together in London. I need to start planning that. So there will be something if you're in the UK or can be in the UK at the end of August. I don't have the exact date in my head. We are going to do a get together in London. because I'll be there for a few days. And I thought, well, why not just spend part of the day meeting people over there while I'm there? So we'll do that. And then I know around this time next year, right now, the weather is perfect in Palm Springs. This is like the best time of the year. Perfect temperature, very little wind, no bugs. It's just a lovely, lovely time of year. So this time next year, I want to do a bigger event at my home. Excellent. Out here in the desert. So that's all coming. But I do need to find my local bookstores and kind of go in and say hi to them, drop off some copies and say, hey, sell them.
Now I'm excited.
Let's take a quick break. And then we'll come back from the break and we'll kind of wrap up talking about the stream. And for those that haven't read it yet, we'll get a little deeper into it. We'll be right back. The Taya Practice is on sale now at Amazon.com. And I can tell you, I hear from people now almost every day who are getting the book. They are plowing through it in about 3 days. And they are telling me how it's a perspective unlike anything else they've heard before. That it is a blend of many things that they have dabbled in. And they love the way that Taya marries all of these practices and belief systems, things that really work for people, in one practice that you can begin employing in your life the day you get the book. So check out the TYA Practice on Amazon today. And we're back. We're cutting up on the break. That's why we're laughing now. We were talking about the book. We took a detour into Saltburn there for a minute, but we won't go to that right now. So people are reading it. People are getting excited about it. They're getting into the practice. They love the idea. They love the concept. And my elevator pitch, not that I pitch Taya to strangers, I would never do that. but if somebody asks me what it is, what I say now is it's a mindset practice that at its core is appreciation of all things.
You got that from me.
Maybe I did.
Yeah. A couple of years back, I remember we were in a Taya Mastery meeting and I came up with it off the top of my head too, because someone said like, well, how would you explain it to just like any random person? I said, well, usually what I say, and then I just blurted that out and then everyone started writing it down. I was like, yeah, that was good. I should write that down.
Yeah, because I'm not good. You know, I'm long-winded. I'm not good at summing things up in a few words. Okay. Elevator pitch is not my style. You know, ask the stream a question and you get a 30-minute answer. You know that.
I do know. Yeah.
Yes. Especially the stream. They are much worse at that than I am. They don't give a shit about our time, about our timeline.
Nor should they.
If you ask a question, they're going to give you the whole thing. But if somebody asks what Taya is, I don't really care to going into teaching Taya to a stranger that just asks me what it is. And I do love that. And if I got it from you, thank you. That it's the authentic appreciation of all things.
Yep.
Because that's what it all boils down to, is that is source. And we're not there all the time, but we're practicing appreciation of all things. And what we find is that when we start applying that in our lives, it starts sort of multiplying out into all things, all topics, and you find yourself being able to have a higher perspective of everything, mm-hmm. which is pretty damn amazing.
Yeah. And really difficult for some people to wrap their heads around. So
yeah. And it's not an easy thing to just do. And that's why there's a practice where you practice it and you're not there. And I'm not there all the time. There are things that I don't appreciate. If I'm down, if I'm in lower vibration, I am out of that appreciation space. I do practice mindset and meditation and all these things to keep my vibration higher. Mm-hmm. But I dip down and get out of appreciation. But if you're up in appreciation all the time, you're inevitably going to become complacent there, and it's not going to be appreciation anymore. And yeah. You're going to drop naturally. That's just how our world is designed.
Yeah. I was explaining to someone recently, because right now shadow work is a big buzzword all over the place.
Very sexy term. Yes.
Yeah. Everyone's obsessed with shadow work now, just as they were with law of attraction not long ago. And I mean, many still are, but it's always interesting when I'm trying to explain, like if people want to know more about Taya, and I say, well, if you're familiar with shadow work and you're familiar with the law of attraction, like kind of put the two together, and it's all about removing fear and judgment. And usually we get into a really interesting conversation about it, because it's the roots of law of attraction and shadow work are very much at play in Taya. And once I started really studying shadow work, because, you know, I felt similarly about shadow work as I did about law of attraction early on, because law of attraction seemed very materialistic to me. So I was just not interested for a long time. And then it was the same with shadow work. It just seemed too hippie to me. So I was just like, this is dumb. And
well, I think there are people that need to make spiritual things. Well, they need to make it spiritual, first of all. you know, I use the term spirituality and spiritual because that's our, those are our peeps.
Yeah.
But I don't consider myself terribly spiritual. I don't, all the mystic or mysticism and all of that, you know, fluff.
Yeah.
Around all of this. I have never, I've dabbled in that. I have never felt drawn to that. I have never really felt mm-hmm. that stream. The stream is very matter of fact.
Yep.
Appreciation, love of all things, period. That's it. That's all you need. That's what the universe is. That's what abundance is. That's what well-being is. How you choose to express that in your physical form is your unique experience that you're creating for yourself vibrationally. And there's no judgment from source around that.
Yeah.
But having the sexy name and the, you know, all of the sessions. I don't like the term sessions. People want a stream session, and I don't do sessions because it's sort of like, well, we know what they're going to say. Mm-hmm. Appreciation of all things. Detune the judgment of what you've experienced. Detune your fear. Detune your ego, because those are the things that are keeping you from that source space of appreciation of all things.
Yeah, yeah. And if you delve into like the background of what shadow work actually is, it does come down to getting rid of the fear and the judgment and finding appreciation even in the things that you don't enjoy. So it's, yeah. Which
and I would say that that serves an audience, and I'm not saying it's wrong or bad or shouldn't be. I'm not saying that at all. I think there are people that need that woo woo factor.
Yeah.
To be it, because the power is within us. Whatever we give power to works for us. It doesn't matter what it is. And there are people that love that woo woo aspect. Mm-hmm. Of things like shadow work. It's just not real present in Taya. Mm-hmm. It can be if you want to make it that, but you know, I realize I'm channeling source and that's pretty damn woo-woo to a lot of people. But the sort of veil around all of it and the sexiness of all of it. I had somebody that went through boot camp who left, who Taya, according to her and her testimony, completely changed her life. And then she got into shadow work. And then she says, shadow work showed me that Taya was all backward and wrong. And I thought that was a really interesting perspective. I'm like, okay, well, tell me how shadow work is different. And shadow work had all the woo-woo stuff that she likes.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, so for you, Taya wasn't woo-woo enough, but shadow work is. This is very similar, but we include some other aspects. It really is about managing your day-to-day 3D life, not just being in that woo-woo space all the time.
Yeah, I remember that. She was actually the one that got me curious about shadow work, because I wanted to see like, well, that's because what I understood shadow work to be at the time was not at all contradicting to Taya. And I was very confused as to where her perspective was. So I started researching. And yeah, I have looked into it quite a bit now. And the roots are the same. Like, it's just... shadow work is pretty much an aspect of Taya. Like, Taya has a lot more overarching concepts in there, but shadow work, my little air quotes, like, is one of them. And it's just, it's very interesting. Yeah.
Well, I was very open to her perspective and brought her in as a coach, and even had her, we were offering shadow sessions for a while mm-hmm. in Taya boot camp, until I realized, why am I doing this? We don't need this. Taya already has, this is from source. Why am I reinventing what source has delivered to us? And it was one of those things that, as something is maturing, you need to have some challenges come along and sort of just to ensure that you're on the right path. And I realized that I was creating a challenge to Taya myself, bringing this external thing in from this person who had taken a seminar on how to coach it. And I didn't need to do that. And that all sort of just dissolved and went away. And we moved on and realized, okay, we don't need to add anything or subtract anything. Taya's perfect. The four pillars are all you need. If you're into this, this is your thing. The four pillars are it. That's all you need. And we get right into that in the book. In fact, the book, after the introduction, the four pillars are the first thing.
Yep. And I will tell you right now, what a lot of people are calling shadow work is basically covered in the appreciation pillar. So and that pillar goes a lot deeper than a lot of that stuff.
Well, shadow work sounds very sexy though, right? I'm into shadow work.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sounds a little sexier than I'm into appreciation.
I don't think it sounds sexy. I think it sounds dumb, but that's...
Well, it's marketing language. And, you know, you have to hand it... Here we are promoting my stuff, so I'm not saying marketing is bad. But, you know, the people that do really well with their practices are brilliant marketers. Joel Osteen is a brilliant marketer.
Yeah.
You know, Rhonda Byrne, is it, that Rhonda wrote The Secret? She knew how to package and market The Secret. Everything about that is packaged and marketed brilliantly. And of course, when you get Oprah on board, or you have the money to hire Oprah to get her on board.
And see, the secret was what turned me off to Law of Attraction. I was appalled.
Well, it didn't go, if you already understood it, it didn't go nearly deep enough. It was a very good, it was a gateway.
Yeah.
And that's what I appreciate about it. It's a gateway that somebody can consume, get, understand how it works. But then it also leaves a lot of frustration because people don't understand, you know, people will see Law of Attraction and say, well, your life should be perfect. If the Law of Attraction were real, you would be perfect.
Yeah. And I mean, well, I was under 30 when The Secret, the book came out. So like when I read that, I was not impressed. I was, like I said, quite appalled. And it was my first real introduction to the buzzword Law of Attraction. I understood what the Law of Attraction was already, but didn't have a name for it. So The Secret turned me off to that a lot. I never saw the movie, but I read the book, and because someone told me to change their life and I had to read the book. And I remember putting it down and being like, okay, I'm going to try really hard to forget that I ever read this because I did not like it at all. I would imagine, though,
if you're new to all of that and you read it and you're excited and you're giving it power, you're going to see things start to show up in your life that you want. And that's a great experience for a lot of people. You're different.
Yeah.
You're cut from a different cloth than a lot of more materialistic people.
Yes. And I wasn't new to a lot of the concepts it was introducing. I thought it was bastardizing a lot of the concepts I already really appreciate.
Yeah, it had to dumb it down for mass consumption.
Yeah, and I'd been studying Buddhism a lot and really.
Yeah, but for the person that hadn't done all of that.
Yes.
Beginning to think about conscious creation, it's a great tool for that. Yeah. You were ahead of it already by the time you read it. I would read it now and say, God, you're leaving polarity out of this, and polarity is everything. Yeah.
I guess I
am Mr. Polarity. I wish I could make polarity sexy and mass market, but it's not. I don't think it's ever going to be sexy.
Yeah. And I guess I agree. I'd never really thought about it. Maybe I was already a little bit ahead of the game at the time. Cause Taoism and Buddhism and Hinduism, I was really, really into those teaching concepts, and specifically like really into the writings of the Dalai Lama and Sadhguru and Amma the Hugging Saint, and like a whole bunch of these. I was fascinated, but then the materialistic aspect was what bothered me. So later when I looped back around, actually I talk about this in the Taya book quite a bit, but when I looped back around and discovered the term Law of Attraction, and it was actually from you, and I was like, okay. So he's talking about this. I like this guy. So I'll look into this more. And actually it was because of you that I discovered Abraham Hicks. And when I started reading Abraham Hicks, I was like, oh, this is so much better. Okay. I get it. This is so much.
Yeah.
Better.
And Abraham was part of that whole series early on. And then they wouldn't sign over the rights to all of their intellectual property to Rhonda. And this is how I understand it. And they just parted company.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to do it. And even Abraham has said that live.
Yeah.
So, or Esther has said that live. So that's the way I understood how all that came off. But neither Rhonda nor Abraham nor Esther or Jerry Hicks created Law of Attraction.
Yeah.
It is a universal law, first of all, but the word was actually around even before them. And certainly there were other people channeling, teaching these things long before them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what, so like I had encountered Seth before any of this and was totally on board. Or, what is that? There was conversation.
Well, Seth went really deep. Seth went really, really deep. And I think the delivery of Seth early on turned me off because it seemed so bizarre. She seemed possessed when she was her name? Yeah. Joan Roberts.
Yeah, I don't remember. I just remember Seth. And
if you know her name, we'll Google it after this, but feel free to correct me in the comments on this podcast. Yeah. Jane Roberts. the stream just popped in and said, hey, dumbass, it's Jane Roberts. Jane Roberts, channeling of Seth. Sorry, Jane. Sorry, Seth. It was very deep, but I judged it. It freaked me out because I wasn't into this type of stuff. And somebody, said, you're a channel. You should really look into this. This is a gift you've been given. And so that was one of the things that I looked at. I'm like, oh no, this woman's like, there's something wrong with her. This is like a mental disorder or something. That was my early judgment. I don't feel that way now.
Yeah.
But Abraham, and I've said this many times, Abraham was the one that even early on, early Abraham, where she spoke in this sort of Middle Eastern accent. Mm-hmm. Did you see any of that from 1988?
Yeah. I looked up a lot of stuff with their teachings and.
Yeah. But I heard that and I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is music to my ears. This isn't weird at all. This is exactly like what I get, when I get my downloads of thought, which is what I used to call the stream. that made sense to me. The Jane Roberts stuff, the only reason it didn't early on is because I was judging her delivery of it. But now I know that that was an early, because she did that, and because Esther channeled Abraham, I believe that's why I am able to channel the stream the way that I do. They paved the way. They changed the vibration.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree. It's been a journey. Definitely been a journey. And there's so many aspects that I loved about all of these. There was like Conversations with God, A Course in Miracles. There was Gary Renard. I can't remember was it The Destruction of the Universe or The Dissociation of the Universe? I can't remember the title of the book.
I don't consume these things because I don't want to bring them into the stream teachings. Because if I started consuming that stuff, it would start flavoring, and I don't want to flavor. I've done very well just channeling the stream. I don't listen to Abraham anymore. I don't go seek out Jane Roberts' teachings. They're all great. You all should do anything that you're guided to do. I want to strictly channel source, the stream, and I want to teach you how to apply those teachings in your life as Taya. That's why I don't consume that other stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's where our contrast was good in the Taya book, because I have consumed everything under the sun, including biblical teachings and like the Torah and like the Quran, like everything. I've every religious text I could ever get a hold of, I had read it, and I actually don't do that anymore just because Taya is enough for me now. And it's not because I don't feel like I should. It's just because I'm happy with just my work with Taya now. But that was, it's been a journey. And just because I'm so well read in a lot of those things, like, you know, I studied at a monastery in India for years and all the different things. And Taya gives me a satisfaction that none of those other aspects ever did. So, and yeah, I love that you haven't exposed yourself to a lot of that stuff too. It was the same, I believe, with Esther, right? Esther also, she was a pretty clean slate for Abraham. And
yeah, from what I recall, her husband introduced her to some things early on, and she kind of judged it and then had her own experience. And then Abraham has been flowing since then. And I don't know that she consumes anybody else's work at all. Yeah. She's very, very much, I always jokingly call her the Beyonce of channeling, because she doesn't do interviews. She doesn't market anything. She has her following. They love her.
Yep.
And she spent a lot of time building that, a lot of time since the 80s. She worked on that. And she had Jerry early on, but then she lost him over a decade ago. And she's just been going and doing her thing since then. And good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her. I hope she's 20 years older than me, almost to the day. And I hope that I can do this for another 20 years or so. Would be great.
Yeah, she's lovely. The last time I saw her was 2 years ago or so. She's going strong on stage like a boss.
Yeah,
I would agree. I love that. The Beyonce of channeling.
She is a Beyonce of channeling. She just gets up and does her thing, and she's great at it. And it doesn't need all the other stuff, you know, out there. And I that's why I originally thought my world would be, I would do the podcast, I'd write a book, and I would start doing live events. Little did I know, with my intention of really creating something to teach this to people, Taya would emerge and, you know, really take me on a whole different path for a while with boot camp, which is still going. And I'm not going to retire boot camp. I've thought about that off and on, but people want to come in. They want boot camp. As long as people want it, we're going to teach it. I know how to teach it. It doesn't take an incredible amount of my time anymore. I know that that set of modules is magical for people. And I know that you need coaching and community and all that with those modules. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to keep doing that as long as I'm around, or if I can have somebody, you know, take it over once I'm gone. But I'm going to keep doing that. But the thing I'm really excited about now that we have the book, is getting out there and doing these live events and meeting people in person and sitting and channeling the stream for people. I can't wait to do that again. I'm very, very excited about that.
I can't wait either. I'll be there. I'm excited.
Well, I want to take this opportunity to thank you for being on. I know it's not easy to get you with your very busy schedule and your many, many hats that you wear these days, which are all interesting.
So many hats. They're very colorful hats.
Very colorful hats indeed. our lives are so different. Me, I'm sort of like, gosh, you know, I just kind of do my stream thing and that's it. And I'm getting back into the gym now, which is good, and fitness and stuff, because I needed to do that. Just to do these live events, you know, my back was in such bad shape. I just couldn't physically do it. And now I can. I'm so excited about that. You don't know how excited I am about that. So we will be doing that. Get on the newsletter so that you all know what's going on. The book is available exclusively right now on Amazon, the Taya Practice, the TIA Practice, TYA Practice.
Okay.
I'm going so fast. And Katarina, your three pen names are Katarina Wonders.
QB Wanders. And then I have another one that's Venus Rose. And I will warn you right now, if you read anything from Venus Rose, that stuff is spicy, not safe for work. Still a lot of my, it's like my same writing and story concepts, but spicy. So erotic. if you don't want
is it
spicy,
erotic?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Like, but it's, there's a lot of taboo stuff in there. So, and I am shameless about that. Like, I'm very,
well, yeah,
I own that
taboo. That's a human created concept of taboo. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. And I own that pen name. I have no problem with people knowing. The only reason it's a separate name is because, you know, I have like some young adult readers who might enjoy my other books, but they don't want to accidentally purchase one of my spicy books.
So. If you want links to all this, we will publish links with this episode. So wherever you're consuming this podcast, the episode notes should have links to all of Kat's stuff and the book, the Taya book. And if not, you can always go to thestreamofdavid.com, go to the book section of our website, the podcast section of our website. And this episode will be there with Kat's name on it. And you can find all those links there. Thank you so much for listening, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Stream of David podcast. To learn more about the stream or the Taya practice, visit thestreamofdavid.com. And be sure to subscribe to our podcast via your favorite podcast provider. And if you would, take a moment to leave us a review. And also, follow us on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram, and join our free Facebook group, The Taya Practice, The TYA Practice. Thanks for listening.